This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, with London 2010 Symposium. Proposition. An apprentice, an appearance, is an illusion I accept or reject by my choice. An apprentice, my goodness sake. An appearance is an illusion I accept or reject by my choice. An appearance is an illusion I accept or reject by my choice. Now, what is an appearance? An appearance is what conditions the world has brought about and shown forth. The trees are full of harvest. The trees are barren. The trees are coming in the spring. The trees are full of fruit. The trees are ready for harvest, and so forth. The cycle. We have a man walking down the road, and the next day we have no man walking down the road, and then the next day we have three men walking down the road. Now you saw four men walking down the road, but you only saw one man one day and three men the other day. Now that's an illusion, that's an appearance. So what happened on the second day? Nobody walked down the road. You looked at the road and you saw nothing. Now what does that mean? It's an illusion that you saw nothing. To not digress, but to expand our thinking on this right now, think of this. The science is telling us all time is here and now. All time is now. If you can conceive that all time is now, right here, that means that every person who ever lived is right here, right now. Jesus and Moses and, you know, whoever. All these interesting people. Your mamas and daddies are still here, fooling around, having a ball. Everybody. All the children that were born, all the children that died, all the children that live, all the children that ever existed, they're here right now. Right now. They're here in whatever state of awareness you want them to be in. What state of awareness do you want these people to be in? How do you visualize your daddy? Do you visualize your daddy as being a man who is a pleasant man and who is sitting in his chair, smoking his pipe, relaxing and doing whatever he's doing? Or do you visualize him working? Or do you visualize him being a parent and acting like a parent with his family? Or do you visualize him bringing home some food? Or do you visualize, what do you visualize him as? What do you visualize your brother as? What do you visualize your sister as? What do you visualize the people in your world as? How do you visualize them? Now, however you visualize them, that is the state of consciousness in which they are living their nowness here and now. Because everything is in the now, and everything is in the here and now, and as you visualize these people in the here and the now, you're visualizing them in that state of consciousness right here and now. They exist right now. There are millions of people in this room right here. You say, millions of people, my God, you know. How many are you willing to recognize? How many are you willing to admit to? How many people are you willing to conceive of as being here? Can you visualize every person on the face of the earth, basically, receiving $2 million every day to use for whatever they want? At least they have $2 million in their account every day that can be used. Even if they take some away, then there's always the $2 million there. That's nice, huh? And so every day that's there. Now, can you visualize that? Not too easy. But if you want to visualize, don't you visualize that?
Yeah.
You can visualize that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, can you visualize that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Now, are you visualizing the money in or the money out or the money period as a concept?
The money in.
The money in. That's a good visualization, because then you're always seeing $2 million there. Now that's great. Now, what if you wanted to buy $1 million house? Could you do that? Sure. You could buy $1 million house. Nobody says you can't. What if you wanted to furnish it? What if you want to do all these things and you end up spending $5 million? Well, take a couple days to do it. or work within the program. And work within the program. Now, is there enough money on earth for everybody to have $2 million?
There is.
Easily.
More than that.
Easily.
More than enough.
And everyone could live very comfortably on that. Now, is there inflation or is there deflation or is there this or that? That doesn't make any difference. $1 million is always going to be $1 million, really worthwhile, spendable, and it is whatever is the, what we say, whatever is the money of the world market that is used as a judgment for how much money is worth. Like if you use a U.S. dollar, then how does everything else frame up with the U.S. dollar? So it's every one of the dollars are on that level of the U.S. dollar. Or British pound or whatever. So everyone is on that level. Okay, now, if everyone's on that level, then there's no problem. There's no problem. There's no country that's getting less and other countries getting more. There's no, everybody's got that available money to do anything with. All right, now, so is there any family that's poor? No.
No.
What did I say?
Is there any family that is poor?
No.
Everybody is.
What is everybody? Man, woman, and child. He's got 14 children. So, how many million dollars does he have in his family?
28, unlimited.
Yeah, 14 is 28, plus himself?
30.
28, 29, 30, and who knows who else he's got in this world that we don't know about. Now, but you got, okay, that's your children. We're not talking about the married ones and their children and that stuff because they got it too. But my point is, his kids got it too. And his wife has it too. And he has it too. Now, wow, you would be really walking the jack. Can you imagine people who have 14 kids or 10 kids or 12 kids, they think that they got a rough time. They're working better than anybody else. They're working better than anybody else from a point of view of absolute abundance. Now, I have said to you, you only have 2 million every day. And if you don't spend it, it does not add more. It only keeps your account at 2 million. It only keeps that level at 2 million. So you have to spend it. Now, if you spent 2 million today, then you'd have another 2 million tomorrow. And that's kind of nice. Now, in this respect, how would we live our life? How would we experience who we are? How would we understand who we are? What kind of families would we have? Do you think that perhaps there might be an inversion of 14 kids, poverty, one kid, two kids, a wealthy family? The intellectual wealthy families only have one or two children, you know? Well, now, they soon would change their colors, wouldn't they? They'd soon change their fire. And the difficulty about that, nobody would be helping the people with 14 kids. Because you couldn't pay help to come in and work for you. Because they wouldn't come in. Well, they've got money to handle for themselves. They don't need you. They don't need you. They can go off and do whatever they want to do now. Living in that sort of a condition, you have this millions of people here in this world. Billions of people. And these people are all living in the now. Now, did they always have 2 million available to them? Well, from our story, they do. Were they ever poverty? No. Were they ever ill? No. Were they ever in lack of anything? No. Did they always have enough clothing and housing and food and other good things that they might want to have? Yes. Could they buy anything they wanted to? Yes. Would they soon tire of that? Would they soon tire of that? And would the kids go back underneath the sink and pots around on the pans? and play with the pots and pans and say, bang, 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 that's fun, you know. But they run around cops and robbers and Indians and stuff like that, and with their little wooden gun and say, boom, boom, you're dead, now fall down, you know, and things. And they would play their games. They could buy real guns. They could buy cannons. They could buy machine guns and things like that and play their games if they wanted to. But that's not part of the game. The game is a game of innocence. And the game of innocence is the game that we are all playing. And an appearance is an illusion I accept or reject by my choice. An appearance is an illusion I accept or reject by my choice. Now, how do we accept or reject the appearances as illusions? How do we accept or reject them? You look at a person petting a dog, and the dog is just so cuddly and so fun, and the person feels so good, they're snuggling that dog, they pick him up and they cuddle him in their arms, and they just think that's so wonderful. That person who's cuddling that dog is not paying his share. He's not paying his share because he's taking the affection of that dog that the rest of the family wants. And that's their dog. Is he allowed to do that? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Because affection doesn't have a price on it. Affection doesn't have a label on it. Affection doesn't have any ownership on it. And because affection doesn't have any ownership on it, they can have any ownership they wish. They can have any attitude they wish about it. Now, all these people in this room, they all are having different experiences in life. And they are all happy or unhappy, doing what they're doing, being what they're being. And we look at them and we try to judge them. We try to say, that's not good or that is good. They should be more generous. They should be more helpful to other people. Or they're not helpful or they are. Whatever the story may be. And as we carry this out, we say to ourselves, why is it that this feels so uncomfortable? Why does it feel so uncomfortable to know that in my world, right here, right now, are so many bodies and so many consciousness and so many experiences in the now? Well, because we think in the now, we are aware of each one individually. Well, you're not. We are not aware individually of all of these beings in this consciousness in this room right now. We're not aware of them. You're not aware of your parents. You're not aware of your grandparents. You're not aware of your children. You're not aware of your family, your husband, your wife, your grandma and grandpa. You're not aware of anybody. You're not aware. You know why you're not aware? Because you're not thinking about them. And the moment you think about them, you move into their experience. And when you move into their experience, you have to decide, when are you moving into their experience? Are you moving into their experience when Daddy is sitting in the chair with his pipe, smoking it, and telling you stories or something? Are you sitting in the at the kitchen table or dining room table, and are you eating together as a family? And are you just all quietly, gently eating, no big rush? And is one of the members of your family the usual person that you have who likes to tell stories? And they say, Mommy, do you know what I did today? You know what I did today? You know where I went today? I went. And you see, and they start telling these stories. And you say, oh my God, I heard that a dozen times, you know. And so you're irritated and you want to change yourself around. Now, because you do this, you miss out on all of the fun of being infinite. You miss out on all the fun of being the illumined one. Of all the fun of being aware of your divinity, aware of the magical being that you are out of the allness. Okay, now, you want to be aware of yourself as this magical being out of the allness. Now, what benefit would it do you? What benefit would it do you to sit and hear your father tell the same story, or have your brothers and sisters tell the same story, or go through the same experience you had before? What benefit would it do you? Nothing. So, what do you think if you were to visualize a God as being different from you? What do you think God does with all of its creation? Do you think God sits in judgment of his creation? I doubt that. I think God creates its creation, and we are God creating its creation as to be itself and have fun. And go, you know, follow whatever you believe are your highest and your best, you know? And they do. And then there's no judgment. Then there's no problem. But that is what only an absolute consciousness can do. That's what only a divine consciousness can do. And you as a divine consciousness can do that. Now, do you want to? Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to be aware of your divine consciousness and live in that awareness? Well, the answer is yes and no. The yes part is when you say, I'm aware of it, I'm interested in it, but I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And I say to you then, you come to me and you ask me, and you say, Herb, why don't I understand it? And I say, well, it's just as simple as this. You don't understand the allness because you don't understand yourself. You don't understand yourself. Now, have you ever stopped to listen to yourself? Have you ever stopped to listen to what your heart is telling you? Have you ever stopped to listen and stop saying you're so pompous, you're so good, you're so much better than your divine self, and listen to your divine self and say, I think I'll meditate, I'll go into introspection, and I'll listen within, and I'll hear what's got to be said. Well, is that going to be so interesting? Well, it can be. Okay, now, so you teach yourself to be still. You teach yourself to listen within. And the first thing that listening within tells you is that all is in divine order. There's nothing to change in the world, nothing to improve, nothing to add, nothing to make any better than anything else in the world, because as you do that, then you are in perfect divine order. And as you are in perfect divine order, then everything works so perfectly that you're just real happy. Thank you. And as you're real happy, then what happens to you? As you're real happy, then what happens to you is you begin to enjoy life. You begin to enjoy yourself. You begin to enjoy what you're doing. Because when you begin to enjoy what you're doing, what you're enjoying is the absolute perfection of your being. You begin enjoying the fact that you have perfect eyesight. You have perfect hearing. You have perfect voice. You have perfect touch. Your skin is just the most wonderful, sensitive thing in the world. It feels the temperatures. It feels all the things. It feels, and you can hear through your skin. You can see through your skin. Every organ, action, function of your body can do the same job. Your ability to see is not only through your eyes. Your ability to see is through the allness of your beingness. Your ability to hear is through the allness of your beingness. I have a jawbone. You say, well, we all have jawbones. I have a jawbone. It's upstairs, I think. It may be in my pocket here. And I know it's upstairs. And my jawbone is a thing I put right here in my ear, and I listen to my cell phone. But it has a little plastic button on it, which touches my cheek. And the jawbone listens to the sound of my voice inside my mouth through my jawbone. And if there is any noise outside, if there's any wind or sound, it doesn't hear that. It cuts it off. It hears only my voice through my inner self, through my cheek, my jawbone, and it is really quite spectacular. And I use that, and I use that to listen to music and other things, and it's quite nice. But the jawbone teaches us that sound travels through our bones. It travels through our body. There are many people who are limited in many ways, and they hear and see and act through other ways of their body. Some people have a body, but they don't have any eyes and any nose to hear, smell, and any ears to hear with. And you think, how do they communicate? How can they be alive? Well, what was it, Helen Keller? She could not speak, and she could not hear, and yet she learned how to speak, and she learned how to hear, even though she couldn't hear her speaking, which we have to hear to know how to speak. But she learned how to do that. Now, We have the ability to do all those things intuitively within us in all of the areas of our being. And as we have this ability to do that in all the areas of our being, and then in our intuitiveness, in our, as we listen to the allness that we are, we begin to realize that we can do that. And what do we do with it once we realize that we can do with it? Once we realize we can do with it, then we stop trying to only listen to our ears, only see through our eyes, and we begin to listen through our heart and through our soul and through our body and through, what else?
Our senses.
Our intuitive intuition. Nature. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did you say?
Our intuition,
our intuitive nature. We listen through that intuitive nature and we understand. You walk by a house and you feel something's wrong in that house. You feel there's something unhappy in that house. You don't know what it is, but you just feel very bad about it. Now, if you were to go up to the door and you'd knock on the door and the lady would answer the door and she'd be crying and you say, I felt there was some unhappiness here. She says, oh, yes, yes, my dog just died, you know. And you say, oh, good, it's only your dog. And so you and she, only my dog is all to me. You know? And so, you see, you sensed her vibrations. You sensed her vibration as a charisma or as a vibratory feeling through the walls and through the space that's between you. And we do that. Now, when you are in tune with your divine self, when you are aware of your ideal divine self, you can do that an infinite number of areas. You can. They used to say, when I would go to lecture at the University of California in Long Beach, and I would go there to their Long Beach campus, I'd have to park out in the parking lot, which was maybe a good 2 or 3 blocks away, because there's always a big crowd of students who attend that school. And so I'd park, and then I'd walk to the auditorium where I was speaking. And I was speaking with a group of people, and there were psychologists and psychiatrists and metaphysicians and people of all sorts of areas. And as I'd walk over there, my friends were there waiting for me too, and they would say, we knew you were coming. We felt your vibrations. We felt your vibrations at, you know, 410. And I said, yeah, that's just when I got out of my car. Because, you know, I arrived at their location. And we felt your vibration getting stronger and stronger as you came over here. And I said, well, that's nice, you know. And so, but they were in tune. They were in tune. And you and I are in tune a lot. Now, why don't we be in tune more? Why don't we go into our infinite consciousness, into our infinite awareness, and be in tune with all these things that we can be in tune with? Well, we don't do that because of one reason. We don't do that, and the one reason is that we're not to be bothered. We're not to be bothered. We're not to be bothered with the idea that there are millions of people here in this one location at one time. It's beyond our consciousness. It boggles our mind to think that a million people right here, a million souls, a million consciousness, a million beings, physically, materially, psychically, however, you know, we cannot understand that. It's just beyond our understanding. But it's true. But it's true. Now, how can we work with this? How can we understand this? We live in a world of appearances. And these appearances are not the reality. These appearances are only the illusions that we have built up and that we've created. You know that this fireplace is made out of nice, strong brick. But given time, it'll go into dust. It'll just go into dust by the mere fact that that's its creative cause, to go into dust. Maybe a little longer to go into dust than something else might take. But it goes into dust. It goes into its original creative force or form. It goes into its original energy. And as it goes into it, then what happens? Then it becomes another activity that we're thinking about. Now, we are living in a world of appearances, of constant changing forms. of constant changing things. There's water here on the table in the bottle, and you drink it, and then there's no water in the bottle. And you say, where'd the water go? Well, we drank it. Well, the appearance was that it was there. Now, I'm going to back up time a half an hour or an hour, and the bottle will be full again. Now, how can I do that? How can I back up time? How can I make anything happen? Well, we have the ability to do anything with appearances or illusions. We have the ability to make them appear to be real, appear to be something significant for us, or we have the ability to make these illusions be something that are not real, that are just transitory, and that are just here for now, for the moment, and gone in another moment. So, I like to create illusions in my life that are positive and beneficial. I would like to create illusions in my life that are not in the here point of view and the now point of view, but in the illusion point of view. So I take the course from David Copperfield, and I learn how to be a magician. And I learn how to make you think you see something that you don't see. Make you think that you see a railroad train in front of you, and then have the railroad train disappear. This big choo-choo engine, make it disappear, as he does sometimes. And how does he do it? That's impossible. A railroad train is a railroad train. You touch it, you know, and knock on it, and it's there. But your knocking on it is much illusion as the train that's there. It's not really there. It's not really there. You think it's there. He has the ability to mentally cause you such inner confusion that you think something is so that's not so. And many people can make you feel confused. Many people can give you an illusion that there's something there that's not there and make you feel that it's there. And what do you do? What do you do? You act upon it. Now, what if you were to say to somebody like Richard Bach and Jonathan Livingston Seagull, rather in Illusions, as he was talking to Donald Simoda, they were sitting on the edge of this pond, and Donald said, let's take a dive in that pond, that's a nice pond. And Donald says, okay, and Richard says, okay, so they went over and they dove in the pond. And then Donald climbed out, and he stood at the edge of the pond, and he says, Richard, come here. So Richard came out and stood at the edge of the pond, and he says, all right, now let's walk over here, right on the pond. So they walked across the pond. It was a pure illusion, a pure illusion. And then he said, all right, now let's dive into the land, which is now water, you know, a concept of water. So Don dove into the water, and into the land, and he swam around, and he climbed out. And he was clean as a whistle. And Richard dove into the land, and he was smutching around in the dirt. And he climbed out of the dirt, shaking, because he hadn't made it the full realization to himself that it was water. He could not change the cool, wet moss to fire, and the fire to cool, wet moss. So in the story, he couldn't do that, but it was an actual experience for him. Now, what did he do? He fought him. He said, well, that's not so. You can't do that. That's not right. You're taking the logical reasonableness of appearances and making them into something else. Well, every day we make the logical reasonableness of appearances into something else. And how do we make them into something else? We make them into something else by our thought, purely and simply by our thought. Now, what thought would you like? Okay, so okay is going to say, yes, I think that's an excellent idea, $2 million per person per day. I think that's an excellent idea, right? Excellent idea. I'm comfortably fit financially, but I think that's an excellent idea. It wouldn't hurt to have a little extra around the house, would it? So, what does he do? He meditates on this, and he thinks on this, and he thinks, yes, now if the government of every country, now forget it! The government of GB.
UK.
The UK. Great Britain, United Kingdom. The government of the United Kingdom. Give $2 million to each citizen, each living person, by living person, children or adults, you know. Each living person, not the dogs and cats, you know. You could include them if you wanted to, but that's another story. So each living person, $2 million per day. And then make sure that that's refilled in their coffer every day when they spend it. And have it start now. Okay? He'd like to have that. You'd like to have that. Everyone would like to have that. So you put that in consciousness. You put it in consciousness. You put it in consciousness. Now, how many people must put it in consciousness?
Just me.
Just you. Just one person. Just, there now is peace on earth and it began with me. All right? There now is $2 million in every person's bank account on the face of the earth or here in the United Kingdom. At least we start here. And starting right now, there's $2 million in everyone's account. And they use their thumb as their identification to withdraw their money and use their money. Now, it's not a matter that anyone would cheat. It's just a matter that they need some simple reference, you know. And so, okay, now, everybody's got the $2 million. And they're going to spend it foolishly at first and wisely at first and abundantly at first. But after a while, they get tired of it. You get tired of anything. You get tired of eating. You can eat all you want. I was writing a column for a magazine one time on restaurants, and I'd go around to all the restaurants and write a column about them, and I get free meals there every time I'd write. And I got tired of going to these different restaurants and eating their foods and eating the meals that they had. And I really didn't care for what they wanted to have. They wanted me to have the best, the absolute best, so I'd write about their best dishes and get people excited to come in about the best dishes. They didn't want me to write about the nutritious, healthy, ordinary dishes, but they wanted me to write about the best. So, we get tired of it. We get tired of it. So, you have this $2 million, and you get tired of spending it, and you leave it there. It doesn't grow. It just is there. And you spend it when you want it, and you use it when you want it, and you say, hey, I'll give you $1 million if you run over to the bank or you run over to the store and pick me up some bottle of beer or something like that, you know. And what? Well, I'm just too tired to do it myself. I'll have another $2 million in my bank account tomorrow if I spend $1 million today or whatever. It makes no difference. Just go. And you see, we become blasé about it. And as we become blasé about it, then we begin to lose our impact of it. And then we begin to lose it. Pretty soon we don't have it. It's there. But it's not in our awareness and consciousness. We're not excited about it anymore. And when you're not excited about something, you don't use it. And when you don't use it, it's still there. It's always there. That's the point. It's always there. What we really are is always there. AJ has her perfect job right now. It's always there. That ideal, magnificent, fantastic employment that would make her so happy and so fulfilled that she just jumped with joy. It's always there. And she doesn't even know what it is or know what to call it or know what to think about it or know where to find it or anything, but it's there. And then Daddy says to himself, she now has it. Now has it. And she has it. Now that's all it takes. Him just affirming that she now has it. Now, for the rest of us, on anything that we want to think about, if we say, we now have it, if we say, it is done, if we say, it is here and now, and I'm enjoying it, it's complete, it's over with, it's done with, I'm now having it, I'm now having it, I'm now having it, I'm now having, what happens?
It's done.
It's done. And we have it. Now, for years, I have been a practitioner, a metaphysician, and I've worked with people who have had illnesses, and I've worked with people who were dying, and I've worked with people who were living, and I've worked with people doing all sorts of things. Money problems, family problems, and everything else under the sun. And as I worked with them, I would train them to be whole and perfect. I would train them to be abundant. I'd train them to do these things. I would Say it now, say it now. My daughter has her perfect job. 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 My daughter. You see, I can say that, but you can't, because you get tired of it after saying it for a few times, because you think, ah, come on now, come on now. That's a fool's gold sort of thing. It appears to be gold, but it's not, you know. And you lose your confidence in doing it. You lose your enthusiasm in doing it, and you don't experience. I experience these things. Well, I'm not going to treat for you. I'm not going to treat for you. I'm going to treat that you treat for yourself, and you treat for your daughter, because if you treat for your daughter, it'd be much more beneficial to you and your daughter than if I treat for your daughter. If I treat for your daughter, she'll just have her ideal job, and she'll go about living as though nothing had ever changed in her life, because she won't know she had had a spiritual healing, you know? She won't know that she had a spiritual awakening, a spiritual in awareness. But you can have the awareness of it as you speak the word for her, and then as you talk to her in any way you want, saying, whatever job you want, you can have. You said that already. You can do whatever you want to do. And if you want to stay home for a while and not have any income coming in, that's fine too. I'll work with you. But your ideal job is waiting for you. Your ideal job is waiting for you. Your ideal job exists. Your ideal job is waiting for you. And again and again and again. You're having breakfast together. You're eating dinner together. You're talking. You're sharing. You're watching television. You're doing whatever. And you say, your ideal job is waiting for you. Your ideal job is here. It exists already. It's your ideal job. You see, and what happens? The appearance turns into a fact. And when the appearance turns into a fact, you say, you won't remember that you've been doing this. And the reason you won't remember that you've been doing this is because you now have made it as something so real to you that there's nothing else to think about. People who have spiritual healings, people who were dying of cancer and then all of a sudden had a remarkable recovery and a spiritual healing, and every organ and action function in their body is perfect, they get up and they go about their work. The hospital doesn't remember they were ever there. The doctors don't remember they ever worked with them. The neighbors don't remember. The family doesn't remember they ever had an illness. And they don't remember they had ever had an illness. It has been spiritually wiped the slate clean in their life. They don't remember. A lot of things have happened in your life that you don't remember, and yours. And I do. But if I told you about it, you still wouldn't remember it. Because it was something that you had a spiritually illumined experience about, which released you from it totally. And you've had a number of them, all of you. Now, why not have one now? Why not just for the hell of it?
It's done now.
Say, I, the UK, United Kingdom legislators, have decided to give 2 million. Wouldn't this break up the world? Wouldn't this shake the world to the very core? The United Kingdom has given $2 million to each of its subjects, each of its citizens, every single day. They have $2 million in their account. Not that they have more than $2 million, but every single day they have $2 million in their account. And they can spend it how they wish. And every day, every day, every day. Now, what do you think the rest of the world would say about that? The citizens of the rest of the world would say, hey, you guys, if they can do it, you can do it too. You do it here in Nigeria. You do it here in America. You do it too. And would they do it? Sure. They'd have to. They'd have to. Because the will of the people would demand it. And would they have enough money to do it? You bet.
Yes.
Did Obama, you know Obama, mm-hmm. Did Obama just spend $1 trillion on a project? Didn't even have the money. Spending $1 trillion on the project, on the welfare of the people. $1 trillion. And then $1 trillion here, $1 trillion. My goodness sakes, where's that coming from?
Yes.
And it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, because it'll be there. This is what happened when the Roosevelt administration and FDR back in the 30s. Same thing. He spent money that wasn't even there. He closed all the banks, as I said. And then the Depression was in the middle of its really high fall, and he had people work on for the government, and the government paid them a living wage so that they could feed their family and maintain their home and whatever. But the thing is, what was it all about? All it was about was that somebody had a bad idea about money. They thought it was limited, and Roosevelt didn't. He says, let's do, can you imagine one man as the president of a country could have that much power over the political, social, economic condition of his country, as Obama is doing. Obama is making great strides, and the people are going along with him. The legislators are going along with him. The Democrats pro, Republican pro, are arguing, but that's merely party politics, which is not very nice, and that's not very cooperative, and that's not giving them the opportunity to have a beneficial program overall, a harmonious program overall. But he's spending money that they don't even have. But it's there. It is there. It is a, where does the money come from? The money comes out of the infinite. It's always there. The United States is still giving billions of dollars to countries over the world. You know, the United States is giving billions of dollars to the health insurance, and it's giving billions of dollars to this and that and the other things. Just imagine how many people in the United States have. If we got, 500 million or 800 million, something like that, a good amount, more than England, of course, because that's not that large, but let's say a billion people in the United States, that's over a little more than this here, but that's a good number. And so, of the billion people, each one gets $2 million a day. That's 2 million times a billion. Now, how much is that? 2 billion, huh? No, whatever it is. if it's a billion, and each billion, it'd be $2 billion to make $2 million. Yeah. Because 2 million...
But they are not two million people in the United States.
Hmm?
The population of the United States is not a billion. The number of people...
The number of people, yeah.
Yes.
I'm just using a relative number. I would say 100 people, you know. And but it's just everybody gets it, and so everybody has it.
Yeah,
so it's $2 million to each person, and $2 million to each person, however many are in the United States, men, women, and children. And that would be less than $1 trillion.
Yeah.
And that would be pretty close to $1 trillion, though. So that's just another $1 trillion. And then what would happen? If they did that, their money that what they spend on welfare would be down. That's billions of dollars that's down. The money that they would spend on Social Security, that'd be down. The money they spend on poverty control, that would be down. The money they spend on all sorts of these other areas would be down, and it would be instead being returned right to the people. And then they could take the money and pay for the hospitals and the operations that people have and things that the hospital is needed for, and people who have money are not going to be needing the hospital so much anymore now, because they're not going to be feeling so sorry for themselves. They're going to be living healthier, more dynamic, yes, less sick, more dynamic lives. Now, do sick people go to the hospital a lot? No, not really.
They can't afford to.
No, they can afford it, but the thing is, they don't need it. They don't need it. They just don't have no need to go to the hospital. Now, you can't use Europe, Britain here, as an example, the United Kingdom, because it is now on the idea that the government pays for people's needs.
Yes.
And so that you don't have a comparison. But you just look at many of these primitive countries, they don't have a doctor to go to. They don't have hospitals. And you say, well, they're dying by the dozens, but they're dying because of diseases, not because of generality. They're dying because they have malaria or they have any various other things that come along. Now, with Bill Gates spending his billions of dollars, he's helping to find solutions for these illnesses and find ways that people can afford to be cured of them in these different countries, and that's a lovely thing to do. So perhaps he'll come up with some different things that will be utterly fantastic. So we'll leave it open to that. We'll leave it open to that, and we'll see what happens. But it is really spectacular how this works out and how these things function. And we're doing just great. An appearance is an illusion I accept or reject by my choice. An appearance is an illusion I accept or reject by my choice. What is the appearance you accept or reject by your choice in your world? Do you accept that your daughter has her perfect job right now? Do you accept that you have a perfect relationship with all your staff down at your hospital and that you are well paid for your genius? And you have a job that only demands 4 hours a day out of your time for a larger salary than you get now? Okay. Do you envision that you have your home in Nigeria and you love Nigeria and that the government in Nigeria is doing a grand job and its highways are excellent and it's giving hospitals and it's giving all the things and schools to, as you're saying, it's already done. These things are the appearances that we talked about yesterday, so to speak, in the last couple of years, and today they're reality. Now, is it your voice that brought it about? Yes. Yes, it is. Now, did you make that choice? Yes, you did. And are you continually making that choice on all the other issues that are important to you? Yes, yes, you are. Now, you see, that's important. Now, what did you tell me when I asked you? I said, why don't you go and live in the United Kingdom? And you said,
Nigeria is good. Nigeria is ideal for me.
You said, I love to live in Nigeria. It's ideal for me. I love to live in Nigeria. I like my country.
Yes.
I like my country. Now, do you think she's going to have a great country to live in?
She already has.
Ah, my God, he is quick. He already has. Yes.
That's what he told me.
Mm-hmm.
When I phoned her and I asked her about the country, she said the roads are good, the hospitals are good, you know, and that things are very good.
And? Would she lie?
She shouldn't.
She always tells the truth.
Yes.
And it's fantastic. Now, just keep it up. Keep up the good work. And you? Keep up the good work. And you? Keep up the good work. Remember, the appearances are illusions that you choose. Now, what appearance do you want for any area of your life? Now, after supper, let's continue into that and go on to the next 2 points there. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, I love you.
I love you.